أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
For the last few Friday sermons, Huzur says, Huzur had spoken on the subject of the attribute of Allah being Aziz, being the Mighty. Huzur said, in this discourse, at the beginning, I had said that Allah the Almighty has spoken of this attribute of being mighty in the references in the Holy Quran with regards to this. In half the places there is also the mention of Hakim, Aziz and Hakim, the mighty and the wise. Hazur says, today I will speak on the attribute of Allah the Almighty being the wise. Although previously when commenting on Aziz the Mighty, I had spoken of this as well. But with regards to the being of Allah the Almighty, this attribute of being Hakim, when we speak about Allah the Almighty in these terms, that what it actually means had not been dealt with in a satisfactory manner. So Huzur says, today I will refer to the dictionaries and give you the commentaries through the dictionaries and the commentaries. In the Lisan al-Arab, it is said that Al-Hakim means the one who is wise. And then Al-Hikmah is explained, Qila Hakimu Zul-Hikmah, that Hakim is the one who has wisdom. And it has been explained that to know of the best things and to be able to explain them in the best possible way, to be able to perform something in the best manner. For example, the best things, like from the aspect of creation, of capabilities, of construction, of status, of stature, of knowledge, in effect from every angle, from every point of view, when you describe things, to know them in the best possible way, encompassing everything, is referred to in the word hikmah. and then also to have that knowledge to their absolute depths. And then Al-Hakim is also referred to for an alim, a knowledgeable person, and Al-Hakim, perfectly wise. And then in the Holy Quran, it has been said about the Holy Quran, وَهُوَ ذِكْرٌ حَكِيمٌ, that this Quran is a judge upon you, and also it means that it has no conflict. It is very clear. There is no ambiguity. There is no shadowy area in it where a person would be afraid to refer to it because there would be difficulties. But to benefit from it, the condition is taqwa, the love and fear of Allah. This book, which was sent by Allah, the guidance sent by Allah, to understand that, in accordance to your own capabilities, you have to be a hakim. You have to be a wise, learned person. Only then you can draw the best benefit. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has described it, that how can you understand the Holy Quran? He says that the difference between the apparent knowledge, the physical knowledge, and the spiritual knowledge, the condition is taqwa. The condition is righteousness. Whatever fields of knowledge there are, whether literature, philosophy, physiology, whatever kind of knowledge, it is not a condition that you have to be righteous, that you have to be guided by Allah, where Allah tells you to do something, you do that, and where you are forbidden, you will not do that. While in the world it has been seen that people in the world who are knowledgeable, so-called knowledgeable, they indulge in all kind of evils and negative things and immoral activities. And the Promised Messiah says, in Europe and America, although these people have progressed a great deal in the worldly fields of knowledge, and every day they discover new things, have new inventions, but their spiritual and moral state is really gone to their detriment. What goes on in the parks of London and the hotels in Paris, as has been published, it is so bad that you can't even mention it. Until a person is totally righteous and pious, until he is totally humble and given to obedience to Allah, and until a person turns to Allah with total humility, the door of the knowledge of the Quran cannot be granted. The knowledge which is spiritual cannot be given to this person until he is righteous, because this is the word of God and the knowledge is in the hand of God. So you have to have piety. You can only enter it through the ladder of taqwa. That is a condition. Without that, you cannot enter it. So the Promised Messiah says, how can it be that a faithless, evil person, those whose aim is total, the gain of the world, that is totally what they want, then even if they are scholars of all the worldly fields of knowledge, and the world looks upon them as absolute scholars, if they are not pure of heart and mind, they are not given the knowledge of the Holy Quran, the knowledge contained in the Holy Quran. The Prophet Muhammad says, I can see that right now the world is totally inclined towards the modern sciences, and the world is totally dazzled with that. And if the Muslims were looking for any guidance, unfortunately they just thought that they can derive all guidance from that and take these people as their imams and think that it is a matter of great pride for them. This is the way the Muslims are. And those who were old-fashioned Muslims and who think that they are the leaders of the faith, the gist of their faith is that they are given to literary debates of grammatical issues, and they are fighting over the pronunciation of Galeen, that how we say to say that. They have no attention towards the meanings contained in the Holy Quran. How can that happen? Because they do not resort to purification of their soul. So those who are running after the modern light, they are also deprived of taqwa, and the old-fashioned ones, they are also deprived of taqwa, so they cannot have benefit from the meanings of the Holy Quran. Then Hazur says, let's go further with regards to the meanings in Mufradatul Raghib. It is said that hikmah means that to arrive at the truth through learning and knowledge, and to say that Allah has the hikmah, it means that to have the perfection of all the knowledge and then to create something. So Allah's understanding of anything and then its perfect creation, to give it the final shine of perfection where there is no flaw left in it, and for a human being to be possessed of hikmah would be to have understanding of these things which Allah has created, to know that what Allah has created. So the worldly knowledge is not something that Islam forbids you to gain. The Holy Quran has guided us to it. But to be deprived of taqwa, of righteousness, and to think that this is everything and not to think of faith, that is something which is devoid of wisdom. And then it is said that when this word is speaking of Allah, then it is a different meaning. It's not the same as applied to human beings, because Allah says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, that Allah is the greatest of judge compared to all other judges. Hadith Khalifatul Masih Sani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with reference to various lexicons and dictionaries, has explained these meanings. One meaning is alim, the one who has knowledge. One meaning is sahibul hikmah, the one who holds wisdom. One meaning is the one who does everything in a perfect way, which cannot be manipulated by anyone else or spoiled by anyone else. And then it also means knowledge, wisdom, and then everything which stops a person from doing anything because of non-information. And also that everything is used according to the moment, the requirement of the time, as a suitable, according to suitability. And the reality, the root, the seed of it, to reach that, and then also to stop something, to stop someone from doing anything wrong. For example, this word is, that is why used for also the reins applied to animals like horses, the reins that are used, that are referred to as hikmah as well. In Ruhul Maani, which is a commentary under this context of the verse, La ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim, Allama Alusi says that here the angels had referred this to Allah the Almighty this word hikmah of being wise. And then they made the admission of Allah being Hakim, the wise, because then they understood. So hikmah, he says, means to stop something, to stop others. That is why it also refers to the reins, because it stops the animal, controls the animal, and also it stops anything going faulty or wrong or going the wrong way. And hikmah means wisdom, and some have given the meaning that the one who gives perfection in some things creation or construction. Hazrat Muslim who has commented on it, which I will present briefly here. Zur says, and this verse of the Holy Quran, to understand it here, we will have to look at the previous verse as well. This verse that we have just referred to, La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. The verse before that is, Wa is qala rabbuka lil malaikati inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Qalu ataj'alu fiha man yufsidu fiha wa yasfiku dima'a. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Which means, remember when thy Lord said to the angels, I am about to appoint a vicegerent in the earth. They said, will you place there such as will cause disorder in it and shed blood while we glorify thee with your praise and extol thy holiness? He answered, I know what you know not. And then the next verse, Hazbillah min shaitan rajeem, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And Allah taught Adam all the names. Then he put the objects of these names before the angels and said, tell me the names of these if you are right. At that, the angels said, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا إِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. They said, holy art thou, O Allah. No knowledge have we except what thou hast taught us. Surely, thou art the all-knowing, the wise. And Zur says, as we have looked up the lexicon meanings of hikmah, the one who does everything in such a perfect way that nobody can then have any way of spoiling it. That is also to reach the perfection of it, to reach the root of it. These are all the meanings given in Aqrab, and then in the verses that we have just quoted, Zur says, these meanings are quite clear. You have heard the translation that what was the incident being quoted. At that, the angel said that we only know what you have taught us, O Allah. While previously they had said, why are you creating this being? Why are you placing him in our earth? He is going to create disorder. And Allah then told him the reality. Then they said, well, we cannot, O Allah, have any knowledge, because your knowledge encompasses everything. Because you are Al-Aleem and also Al-Hakim, you are the knowledgeable and you are the wise. You know everything and you have a great deal of wisdom. We could only see the things that were apparent, that because of this Adam there will be bloodshed and there will be disorder. And what the angels said, Huzur says, according to their knowledge, was also not wrong. Today you look around in the world, how much disorder there is, and how much bloodshed there is, and it is on the increase. The world is full of it. Nauzubillah, we seek protection of Allah, we don't say that the angels had a greater knowledge to Allah. As a matter of fact, Allah the Almighty told them that this Adam that I am creating, this Khalifa that I am creating, he will not be the cause of disorder. And the angels immediately understood, and they immediately submitted that, O Allah, you are the knowledgeable and you hold all wisdom. And now we understand that the son of Adam, all those sons of Adams who are going to shed blood, who are going to be disorderly, the responsibility will not be upon Adam, because the reasons are outside animosity or inside weakness from amongst them. It will be those people who will be weak. So the Khalifa, the vicegerent of Allah, the representative, had only called people to righteousness, but people then found fault with him. They criticized him and they did not follow him, and then the weaknesses grew and the disorder grew. This is something which all the followers of the prophets had to face from the opponents. And this was something that Allah explained to the angels, and the angels understood that the disorder and bloodshed can come about amongst the followers, amongst the sons of Adam, but then there will also be those beings who will be reflective of the attributes of Allah. So, in accord to that, Allah the Almighty gave that instruction of His attributes to Adam, and Adam displayed it in himself and demonstrated that it was not possible to have that perfect man until he was given the freedom to do good or bad, until he had the free will. And then the good that he could do under the love of God, when he does things which will take him closer to God, that is something which is only achievable by somebody who had the free will. Angels do not have. That is why the poet says that it is better to be a human being than an angel, but that needs greater hard work. Like we have seen in one excerpt from the Promised Messiah Islam, that to understand the guidance given by Allah, the condition is taqwa. And when that is so, when a person practices that, then he can absorb the attributes of Allah. And the greatest of all men who was able to do that was the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he thus became the perfect man. And so the angels had made that admission at the creation of Adam, and they have made that admission at the time of all prophets that were sent, that their knowledge is limited compared to man. And this admission of theirs made it evident that Allah the Almighty, they made the admission that Allah is all knowledgeable and has all wisdom. Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih Sani who has also made this point in this commentary here, that the incident of Adam's creation also tells us about the creation of the world, that revelation at all times when man needed it was given in this way. And those people who criticize this are actually criticizing the creation by Allah, that why is Allah doing this. Today you see those amongst the Muslims as well, although they read the Holy Quran, but they do not understand it, and they think that we are in the right. They do not understand this point. They are rejecting this point, that in every age to spread the goodness Allah the Almighty sends His chosen servants, and in this age when He has sent the promised Messiah Islam, why should they object to it? Those who object to it, they are actually then objecting to the aim of Allah's creation. So for those who reflect, this is a point to reflect upon. And then another point, as Muslim had mentioned, was that when the angel said, La ilma lana, illa ma allamtana, it does not only mean that we only know what you have taught us. What it means here, if you look deep into it, what it means is that the angels made the admission that our knowledge does not increase like the knowledge of man increases. And human being has been given that attribute, that quality, that capability to increase in knowledge. And then the angels also admitted that we only have those powers which you have placed in us, and we through those powers cannot reach the heights of the knowledge of man. So the angels admitted that there is wisdom in creating this being, and this man has been given such tasks which we cannot achieve. If there are some people who only spread mischief and cause trouble, then because of that, the wisdom of creation cannot be negated. Some people, they in their good works, they also then increase in their praise of Allah to such a degree that they go beyond the angels. Another commentary says that those points of wisdom through which creation is perfected, Hakim who works according to the demands of wisdom, this is all the description of wisdom, and out of everything the most honorable and the highest is Allah the Almighty. Nobody can even fathom that, can understand that. Allah is Hakim because He is the highest. Through His knowledge He knows everything in the most perfect way, because this is the knowledge which is eternal, which no one else can even imagine. And that knowledge is in accord in such a way that there is no element of doubt, there is nothing hidden, no ambiguity, and this is only something which is present in Allah the Almighty. Of course, such a person can also be termed Hakim, who has great knowledge, in-depth knowledge of minor and fine facts. And from this point of view as well, the final perfection only belongs to Allah, because He is the most perfect of the wise. But a person who knows other things but has no knowledge of Allah cannot be called Hakim, because he does not have the knowledge of the highest, the loftiest, which is Allah the Almighty. Like the Promised Messiah Islam had said, that the worldly things, even if people have progressed a great deal in everything, but if their path towards Allah is thwarted because they do not have that righteousness, that in spite of all their worldly progress, they cannot be termed Hakim. So then, the next point mentioned here is that the highest, the most honorable of knowledge is mentioned in this word, that something which is known, and its glory, its awe, when it reaches its absolute perfection, it is according to that absolute loftiest point of perfection. The greatness of any knowledge, the glory contained in it, about anything that you are learning towards, it is in line with that. And there is no one who can hold greater honor than Allah the Almighty. So a person who understands the glory of God, he is Hakim, although he might have other areas which are weak, even if his tongue is not very fluent, although his rhetoric is not glorious. Yes, the hikmah, the wisdom of a man is relative to the wisdom of Allah the Almighty. The standard of wisdom is exactly like knowing that the wisdom of Allah is vast. The knowledge of Allah about His own wisdom is something which a human being cannot even fathom. So a person's wisdom is up to the point, up to where he can understand Allah the Almighty. And the knowledge which Allah has, that is so great. There is such vast difference between a man's wisdom and Allah's wisdom. But then the wisdom that a person draws, although there is a vast difference, in spite of that, for a human being, out of all areas of knowledge and understanding and insight, this is the greatest. So the one who is granted hikmah is granted a great treasure of good, and it is only the righteous who get this. This is meaning contained in one of the verses of the Holy Quran, that the one given hikmah is granted a great share of good, and the one who is granted that, he is totally different from others, because that person does not get tangled in small things. He is not focused on the worldly things, but he is focused on the hereafter and whatever he says. Because of that understanding of God, that person, whatever he says, is very clear. So that is why people then refer to him as Hakim, and such a person is then referred to as Hakim, that he is the holder of wisdom. This is the same concept which has been said in the saying of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that the fear of God is the real hikmah, real wisdom lies in fearing God. According to Hazrat Abbas as well, Hakim is the term which applies to a person who, when dealing with a criminal, does not do away with the demands of wisdom. That's another description. He is describing the verse of the Holy Quran where Allah has mentioned this, that Allah has all power and nothing stops him from taking a revenge, a retribution, but he is wise and he does not do away with the demands of wisdom when he's dealing with the criminals. And then in another verse it is mentioned, wa iz khala ibrahimo rabbi arini kaifa tuhyil mauta. In this verse of the Holy Quran, verse 261 of Surah Al-Baqarah, here Allah the Almighty says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَىٰ وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا ثُمَّ ادْعُهُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيًا وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. The translation of that is, and have you reflected when Abraham said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead? He said, have you not believed? He said, yes, but I ask so that my heart is satisfied. He answered, take four birds and make them attached to yourself. Then put each of them on a hill, then call them. They will come to you in haste and know that Allah is mighty, wise. So Ibn Abbas relates that here he hasn't given the other meanings. He has used the word Hakim, commented on that, that the one who does everything in accord to demands of wisdom, because Allah has the power to do everything. Everything that he does has a lot of wisdom. The signs that Allah displays, they are so amazing, they are so astounding that man cannot even fathom that. In this verse of the Holy Quran, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam begged Allah for a sign which is mentioned, and the response given by Allah, which is here recorded in the Holy Quran, thus presented, the commentators, they take the apparent literal meanings, and some have given amazing commentaries on that. Hazrat Muslim radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu has given a commentary on that. I will present that briefly, which sheds light on this subject. Here Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed to Allah that this task of bringing back to life these spiritually dead people, how can I do that? O Allah, you show me that how can I bring back life to these people? My people are dead spiritually and I am old. How will I be able to achieve that? Allah the Almighty says to him, take four birds and put them on mountain tops. Then when you train them, they will come back to you when you call them. Now, Hazrat Muslim says, this is saying that you train your children in such a way that they will then, when you place them in lofty positions, you can call them back. They will run to you. It was for his progeny. And out of that progeny of his, two of them, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had trained himself, and the others were then later trained, given that training. So these four birds mentioned, and then to be placed on four mountains, it means that the revival of faith will happen in four different ages. In the first age, in the first era, because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had prayed that I want to see the sign fulfilled in favor of my children, of my progeny, that they can have this capacity in them to bring the dead back to life, the spiritually dead. So Allah the Almighty told him that four times your future progeny will become dead and we will bring them back to life. So at the time of Moses, peace be on him, it happened. And then at the time of Jesus Christ, peace be on him, it happened. And then at the time of the Holy Prophet, it happened. And then now fourth time, at the time of the promised Messiah, again this call was raised. So the first was the people of Moses. The second was the people of Jesus Christ, peace be on him. And then the third bird were the people, the followers of the Holy Prophet, and then the fourth bird, where this was beautifully demonstrated, the acceptance of his prayer, through which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi's prayer was fulfilled in a beautiful way, and Allah the Almighty demonstrated that in favor of his progeny. And this coming back to life also puts a great responsibility on us being Ahmadis, that through the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that this bringing back to life, which had to happen in this day and age, we must then stick to the taqwa, to the righteousness, which is taught to us in the Holy Quran, so that every member of our community displays that in their hearts. Until we stick to this standard, we will continue to see this being demonstrated. Hazrat Ibn Abbas also says, giving example, Afa ghayra Allahi, this is the verse of Surah Al-An'am, Afa ghayra Allahi abtaghi hakama, that here the word hakama has that meaning where the judge is such who has no equal, who is special in this, specific for this. That is why it is only used for somebody who is in that position of judging or who has to give this judgment again and again for various things. The responsibility is placed with that person. This verse of the Holy Quran, 115 Al-An'am, in that what is mentioned is that shall I seek anyone else, a judge, other than Allah? Why should I go to anyone else for my judgment? Why should I call other human beings for the judgment while Allah the Almighty has given the judgment? And Allah is the one who grants the best judgment. The opponents of faith, however much hue and cry they raise that we will give the verdict, the response to them of a believer has been and will be, أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْتَغِي حَكَمًا, that shall I seek for judge other than Allah? I do not need anyone else. I am filled with the conviction and I am established firmly on this conviction that Allah, who is Hakim, who is the wise, He has guided us to the right path. He has shown us the signs, so we do not then need to go to anyone else. Whoever the so-called scholar or these big men whose writings you want to bring, which are against me, if the verdict of Allah is with me, then I do not care how much hue and cry you want to raise. Your worldly judges, they need backing from the people. And when the assemblies and the courts and the governments, they make decisions, then those who want to raise great hue and cry, then these people, they are influenced by their rhetoric, their pressure, while Allah is Hakim, He is the wise. And He gives the verdict which will then be good, which will better our situation in the world and the hereafter. It will be better for us. So today, in accord to the verdict of Allah, we have been given the ability to believe in the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, in accordance to the prophecies of the Holy Quran. We see them fulfilled, that Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian alayhi salam is that same Mahdi whose advent had been prophesied, and the book of God declares that Jesus Christ, peace be on Him, died. And this book of God tells us that the Messiah will come again. So then the judgments, the assemblies, the governments, what stature do they hold compared to Allah, that we should reject the verdict of Allah the Almighty compared to them? So this verdict which Allah has given, those who will reject it, they will be rejected. Those who tell us that we should reject it, they will be rejected themselves. And we, inshallah, with the grace of Allah, we will continue to progress stage by stage. So whether it is the assembly of Pakistan or of any other country, we do not care a dot about their verdicts, because their verdicts are devoid of righteousness. Today, if any judge has to decide, and the judge who has decided forever, it is Allah the Almighty. He is the most just, and He is the one who has always decided, and in accordance to His verdict, we are established on this verdict which the Holy Prophet ﷺ brought, and until our last breath we will stick by it. May Allah give us the ability to work along with piety, with righteousness, and may Allah grant us the ability to adopt this attribute of Allah of Hikmah, so that we can have the wisdom, so that we can continue to work according to the demands of taqwa. In passing, I will mention that there is a program on MTA being presented by Maulana Dost Muhammad Saab Shahid about what happened, the proceedings in 1974 in the Assembly of Pakistan, and it is being explained fully what they did and what happened. Those opponents, they did not have any correct response at the time of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III when he was called into the assembly. They did not have it then, they do not have it now, and they will never have it in the future either. It is Ahmadiyya, with the grace of Allah, the true Islam, which will continue to work on the guided path and will, inshallah, will display the attributes of Allah in their own lives and around them, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا هادي له من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. عباد الله رحمكم الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.